I'm Kathy Forstey, music director at KC Cafe Radio. Today it's my pleasure to talk to one of our favorites here at KC Cafe Radio, singer-songwriter Lucy Billings. Lucy's latest CD, No Other Road, was produced by John Jennings and includes a list of A-list musicians. The songs on No Other Road come from many of Lucy's life experiences and are highlighted by her knack for making stories come alive. Thank you, Lucy, for joining us today on KC Cafe Radio.
Oh, well, thanks for talking with me. It's great to be here.
I really love this new CD. This is your second CD that we play here on KC Cafe Radio. Did you do one before that, or is that your first one?
No, Open Air was my first. No Other Road was my second. So, your support has been so wonderful, and I appreciate it so much.
Well, we're glad to be playing your music. One of the songs a lot of the songs on No Other Road kind of harken back to your youth, your childhood. What was it like to grow up on a ranch in near Tucson, Arizona?
Well, actually, I grew up in the desert outside of Tucson, but I spent my summers in Wyoming visiting a ranch. So I didn't actually grow up on a ranch, but I spent a lot of time on ranches. And then when I was in high school, I worked on a ranch as a wrangler, kind of like a cowgirl taking people out on rides, horseback rides. So the summers that I spent in Wyoming had a big impact on me, and I had a lot of growing experiences in that area, and it had a big impact on who I am as a person and my strengths, and I think it influenced my music as well. And I'm grateful that I had the ability to experience the desert, but also experience life up in Wyoming, in ranching country.
Mm-hmm. So how do you get a job on a ranch in the summers in Wyoming? How does that happen?
Well, my parents had actually started going out to a dude ranch out there before I was born, and then when I was a kid, they took me and my sister and brother to the same ranch. And I'd been going to that ranch for quite a few years as a guest, and so I decided, like many kids do that have been going to these dude ranches as guests, that I wanted to work there during a summer or two. So the ranch that I was a guest at, I couldn't work there because they didn't like to hire guests. So I just knew of other ranches in the area, and I applied, and they gave me a position. And in those days, there wasn't nearly as much demand for positions. There weren't as many people applying for them, so they hired me as a kiddie wrangler, and my job was taking kids out on rides and running a little craft shop, which was a lot of fun. And then I worked there for 4 years, and I graduated to just being more of a regular wrangler.
Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of leads me to one of the songs that's on No Other Road, a song called My Caballero. Mm-hmm. And it is a beautiful, beautiful song. I mean, the first time I heard it, I practically had tears in my eyes. And my partner at KC Cafe Radio, Kathleen, she was like, "Have you heard that song? That's a wonderful song." You know, she loves it as well. But that's a song about a horse you had, or maybe several horses you had growing up.
It is, and thank you so much for being so complimentary about the song. I'm so happy that you like it, and it is a touching song. I've had other people tell me that it does bring tears to their eyes. That's an interesting song, because when I wrote it, it was just fun for me to write. I wanted to describe some fun anecdotes regarding a couple of horses that had been in my life, and so I wrote the song thinking that it would be a song that I would sing for fun, but it wouldn't really necessarily, I didn't have a big expectation that it would resonate with a lot of other people. But it was interesting, because before I made No Other Road, when I was performing live and I would play the song, many, many people would come up afterwards and say, "Is Mike Caballo on your album?" And at that time, the only album I had out was Open Air. And so I'd have to say, "No, I'm sorry, it's not, but it'll be on the next one." Uh-huh. And it was really surprising and wonderful that it really resonated with so many people. And I think it's because, as one listener said to me after a show, that song is about more than horses. It's really about life.
Right.
And it's really about friends and who guide you and carry you home and protect you and also, you know, the funny adventures. But it was just really more about telling stories about some of the horses that I've known, because they horses have had a real important influence in my life. And I think horses are kind of like life, in that when you go along and you think you're really pretty cool and they have it all figured out, then horses tend to end up putting you on the ground and you realize you're not so cool after all. And you don't really have it all figured out. So in that respect, life is like that too.
Yeah, horses let you know who's really in charge.
they definitely do. They keep you honest.
Yes, I grew up riding horses too, and I used to trail ride a lot, and my trail riding horse would knock my knees off of me if I tried to go between trees I didn't want to go between, and I have so many scars from trail riding as a kid.
I do too. I think we all do. We all have our scars in various places from our being stepped on or
right.
bitten or had our knee scraped on a tree.
Yeah, that's a great song. So how did you get John Jennings to produce this album?
Well, I had, I really loved the music of Mary Chapin Carpenter, and I'd listened to her albums for quite a number of years. And I've always been kind of I studied producers, and I would study the little touches on the instrumental tracks and the things that I liked about different producers and the impact that they had on albums. And I really liked John's production of her records. And so I told my friends and family for quite a few years that I would love to work with John Jennings on a record. And it was kind of a fantasy for me, because I didn't know John, and he was in the other part of the country, and I didn't really know how to approach him. So it was in 2009, around April, and I found out that my job was going to go away, because the company that I was working for at the time had been acquired. And so I just came home and I said, you know what, I'm just going to find his website and send him a note, and then whatever happens, happens. So I did. I found his website, I sent him a note, and I just described how I liked his work, and I sent him some links to Open Air so he could hear what I did in my first record, and I just described what I wanted to do. And I remember saying something like, I'm a songwriter from Northern California, and I really am passionate about making good records. So I was delighted and surprised when 2 days later my cell phone rang and it was John calling me back. And we just had a great rapport from the start. We had a long conversation about music and different things, life in Virginia and life in California, and then we just quickly made plans to start working on the record, and it was just a great experience, a great process.
That's a great lesson in, follow what your heart's telling you and follow your dream, and don't be afraid to, how crazy it might sound, to go for it.
Yeah. And my attitude was, well, I'm just going to send this email, and at least I know I tried.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent it out there, and I always tell myself when I'm equivocating about, should I approach this person or not, I always say, well, they can always say no.
Right.
And you just never know. And I think I try and operate sort of in that space where I'm not overly confident about making assumptions, but at the same time I believe in the songs and I believe in what I'm doing, so I'm willing to say I'm just gonna go for it.
Yeah, that's great. You never know until you try.
Right.
Well, I think you found the perfect producer and someone who really seems to understand your songs and really takes them to heart and puts them together beautifully, because this album is produced so well, and it's, you can hear a lot of touches of Mary Chapin Carpenter in here and there, but then you also hear what you are and who you are as a songwriter and a singer, and I really love that. You and Mary Chapin Carpenter, in some ways, you have similar styles in writing, but in other ways you don't, and he found a way to bring out the best in you, I think, and also kind of make it familiar in a way, too.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to phrase it, because there are differences, but then there are some similarities, I think, in terms of style. And John is just very skilled at, you know, the right amount of production for the particular song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always like to say I write a lot of songs, and they don't all, as I like to say, make it out of my kitchen. That's what I do most of my writing, is walking around with my kitchen with my guitar. But if the song is good enough and it goes through my filter system and it gets out of my kitchen, it's kind of like putting your little kid on the school bus, and you want it to be, when it goes out into the world, I want it to be adorned or dressed in the right way for the song. And so
mm-hmm.
some songs you want to put more production in, more tracks, make it a bigger song in terms of the production and the sound. Other songs do better with more sparse production, and John is so skilled. I mean, that's one of his many skills,
mm-hmm.
is to figure out how to develop a song for a record.
I know one of the songs I think that really shows off his production skills is Let's Not and Say We Did. There's,
mm-hmm.
it's really, I mean, the way he brings in the fiddle and the mandolin and the piano, I mean, you hear each one of those instruments so distinctly, but, I mean, the way they flow together, it's a really good production. You have some really great musicians on this CD, and I'm guessing that John S. just brought some of his friends along and had them work on it. Is that what he did?
Yeah, I was thrilled and honored to have the musicians that we were able to get on the record. John just has a group of musicians that he turns to for different, you know, depending on what the track is, and people like Stuart Duncan on fiddle and Brent Truitt on mandolin, and of course Lloyd Maines, great pedal steel player, and John mm-hmm. Carroll on piano. And then John also is such an extremely talented and versatile multi-instrumentalist himself.
Mm-hmm.
So he also put on piano tracks and guitar tracks and bass tracks. And then, of course, you know, we had some great harmony singers and Robbie Magruder on drums. You know, I think Let's Not Say We Did is such a fun song. And my mother was a fun woman. She was a very fun woman. And so I was happy that the song came together in that way. And I think the other thing that's interesting to me when I make a record and is that as you're working on the tracks and you're into the recording process, some songs you may go into the studio with and there's a particular song, and through the production process, it really becomes takes on sort of a different life, where you go, wow, and all of a sudden you're saying, I think that's my favorite track right now. And it's interesting, I'm going through that now because I'm working on with John on my third CD,
mm-hmm.
and there's certain songs that as we've started to produce them and put more tracks in and really work the song up, it's taken on like, wow, I'm looking at that song in a different way. Because
mm-hmm.
they start to blossom in ways that maybe you didn't necessarily think about, or you didn't really know how they were going to blossom. And it's so, I think that's one of the most exciting things about making a record.
Yeah. Do you ever go into a recording session with a preconceived idea of, oh, I think this will be a good song with this kind of solo in it, or do you leave that all up to him?
I definitely go in with ideas about what I hear. And it's funny because I think having done these two records, when I'm writing a song and when I'm playing a song, just practicing a song or working on a song, I often in my head will hear other tracks and I will think, oh, I can hear mandolin, and I'll kind of, I'm not even always aware of it all the time, it, you know, that I'm thinking about it, but I'll notice that I'm hearing some other kind of track, or maybe a particular lead guitar part or a mandolin part or even banjo or piano. And so I definitely come in with some ideas on what I hear, and then, you know, of course, compare notes with John on what he hears. And Usually we're pretty aligned. I mean, he always has ideas that I haven't thought of, and they're good ones.
So do you usually go to his studios then and work on these CDs, or?
Well, the No Other Road we recorded as in his studio outside of Charlottesville, and that was great. It was a great place to record, and I love Virginia anyway. I like going. Mm-hmm. I like going to Virginia, and in particular, I love the Charlottesville area. So it's fun for me to go there, and then recording at John's studio was very, very comfortable for me, and I enjoyed that a lot. Now, the record we're working on now, we had a couple recording sessions in Nashville so that we could involve a number of musicians that are based in Nashville in the tracks on the record. But now we're doing the vocals and some other tracks at John's studio.
Anybody you want to mention that's going to be on the new CD or...?
Well, we're not quite... We have on bass, J.T. Brown, and on drums, Harry Stinson, and also Vinnie Santoro, and there are probably going to be some other musicians, but we haven't quite sorted that out yet, so... I don't know that I have all the names yet.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No, I was just kind of racking my brain about, you know, so far we had Harry put some drum tracks, and also Vinny put some drum tracks, and then JT on bass, and but we will definitely have some folks coming in to sing harmony, and we'll probably be putting more guitar tracks, and I don't know what the plans are, if we're going to have fiddle or mandolin or pedal steel or accordion, and John's put on some beautiful piano tracks so far, and some beautiful lead guitar tracks, and so it's still a bit of a work in progress on some of the songs.
So when do you expect it to be out then?
The plan right now is to release it around the June time frame of next year.
Okay, great. Well, I hope we get one of the first copies here at Casey Cafe.
Absolutely.
Great. I'll look forward to getting it.
Yes.
I was going to ask you, what is your songwriting process like? How do you just sit down and write a song?
Well, my process is, I don't have too many rules that I impose on myself as a writer. Like, I never censor the muse. I let the muse just deliver whatever it will to me. I can write about anything. I think because having written for so long, I started writing when I was a kid. I was about 11 years old when I wrote my first song.
Wow.
And so I've come to kind of trust my own filtering and editing processes in that if the muse delivers something to me that just isn't quite... you know, isn't meant to be a song, or, you know, meant for me to go forward with what it has delivered, it usually gets filtered out pretty quickly. But one of the rules I have for myself is that I pick up my guitar every morning. It's after I drink my coffee. It's the first thing I do, no matter what, unless of course there's some reason I can't do it because I'm doing something else. But most of the time when I'm at home, I always pick up my guitar for at least 15 minutes to a half an hour, just to work on songs that are in process. I'm a bit of a what's the word? Maybe sort of like a serial songwriter in that I have I tend to be working on multiple songs at once, and I tend to go back and forth between songs as I work on them, and I come up with lots of melodies, and I usually record them so that I save them, because then I might go off and do something else and I don't want to forget if I came up with a new melody. But I come up with a lot of new melodies, and I also have a lot of ideas in my head. I kind of keep a little file in my brain of song ideas, and I'm always, if I see something or I hear something or I feel something, or there's an experience that happens to me, or I just they're just song ideas all around, and I'll usually just say, interesting. Oh, I'd like to. That's a possibility for a song, and I just sort of put it in my head, and I kind of believe that songs are percolating in there while I'm doing other things, and when I come up with a melody where, you know, I think the melody for me, the tempo, the melody, depending on what it is, determines what the mood of the song is, mm-hmm. and what possible subjects would fit the song. And once I come up with a melody, if there are lyrics in a song concept that fit the melody, it just kind of joins up with it. And mm-hmm. it's not something I'm really that I actually say, okay, let's make this happen. It just happens. Mm-hmm. And so if a melody comes, then usually a chorus and a verse will sort of flow into it, and then I'll start working with it. And sometimes songs are finished pretty fast. Once in a while I finish a song in a day, but it usually takes me longer because I just take my time and I work on it. It's kind of like jigsaw puzzles. Yeah. You know how you have the uh-huh. jigsaw puzzle spread out on the table, and you come and you put a few pieces and you move some pieces around? Well, that's sort of how I write. Mm-hmm. I just let the song, I piece the song together, and then I go back. I do a lot of editing. Even after I've finished a song, I go back and really look at the words, and then I demo the song. I do a demo so I can really hear how I'm singing it, mm-hmm. and I realize, oh, maybe you don't need that the or that and in there, because, you know, you need to give your lyrics a little more breathing room. But I am very firm on picking up my guitar at least for 15 or 30 minutes every morning. And then I play other times of the day. But I believe that by picking up my guitar and playing and writing first thing in the morning, it just gets my brain going mm-hmm. for the rest of the day. And I also think that when you train your... when you do this creative activity, whatever it is, at the same time every day, relatively at the same time, mm-hmm. you train, I feel like it starts to train your brain to deliver material to you at that time. And I've had that experience, I think, with my writing, and that when I developed this rule for myself, it really, really changed my writing. My productivity as a songwriter really increased by doing this. So that's just my process, and it works very, very well for me.
Have you ever had writer's block or felt like I don't have any ideas, or has that never happened to you?
Yeah, I guess sometimes it has, but for me, I tend to let the muse deliver songs to me. I don't normally force songs. I just say, you know, I don't say, well, I'm going to write about a song. I'm going to write about this today. And I just let it deliver what it will when it's ready. Mm-hmm. I've had periods where I seem to be starting a lot of songs and I'm not finishing them. And if I'm under a deadline and I really need or want to finish a song, then I might have a situation where I just can't seem to finish it, and the lyrics aren't quite coming to me like they normally do. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty easy on myself when that happens. I guess I treat that creative part of me a little bit like a child, and I try to use sort of gentle persuasive techniques in anything from saying, well, why don't you pick up a different instrument, or maybe you go to a different part of the house, or maybe you just do something to change it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Or I do a lot of writing when I walk. I like to walk. I like to hike. And sometimes I'll work on a song, and then I'll go walking after I've played my guitar, and I'll just think about the lyrics in my head as I walk. And sometimes the rhythm of how I'm walking mm-hmm. will be the rhythm of what the song is, the tempo. And so I'll just walk along, and I'll just kind of work on lyrics in my head as I'm moving, and that helps too. So I don't really ever feel like I have writer's block, just because I don't necessarily I'm not in a position where I have to force.
Yeah.
The writing to happen.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. I mean, let it be organic and happen naturally, and you kind of set yourself up where it does happen that way, which is pretty cool.
Well, thank you. I mean, I've been writing for a long, long time, and it's always interesting to me when I meet other songwriters and talk with them. I'm always like curious about, well, what's your process like?
And, yeah.
And process, you know, they evolve, and you can have more than one, but that's what I describe to you is my main process of writing.
Yeah. So has yours changed over the years then? Like, you're probably not writing like you did when you were 11 then. I mean, you probably have a different, much different process now than then. So
I think so. Yeah. Well, the one thing that has been very consistent throughout my whole, you know, all my years of writing is that I do come up with a melody first.
Hmm.
I've only written one song where I came up with the lyrics and then I put them to music. And the song actually, you know, stuck around and had a life. So that's pretty consistent. But in terms of, I'm probably more disciplined now as a writer, and I think I've worked a lot in the last year or two on just on my lyrics and really doing more editing, really taking a harder look at lyrics instead of just saying, oh, well, I think this song is good enough now. Going back and saying, well, could this be better? Could mm-hmm. you say this in a better way, maybe a more visual way, or could you put more images? You know, I'm more aware of some of the techniques that I've learned through doing songwriter workshops or working with different songwriting teachers or just working with other great songwriters who've given me ideas and suggestions.
Right.
So I'm more of an editor now than I was when I was younger.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever written a song with anyone else?
John and I did some co-writing on one song that's going to be on the new record, and that was the first time I've actually done any co-writing with anybody. I'd like to explore that more,
uh-huh.
And I've thought about spending more time in Nashville because I've started to went there a few times this year, and so I've met people in Nashville and started to make some contacts in the songwriting community and have identified a few people that I think it'd be fun to explore co-writing.
I could see you taking someone else's lyrics and kind of changing them up and making them better, you know? Like, I could see you doing that. I think you would be really good at that.
Maybe. Thank you. I thank you so much. I mean, that's a great compliment. I'd be very open to that, and mm-hmm. I also, you know, I have way more melodies than lyrics, and so it'd be fun to collaborate with someone where I could just say, hey, I've got this melody, and I don't know what to do with it. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be cool. You said that a lot of your songs start with melodies, or most of them do. Daddy's Last Drive is a really interesting song on the CD because it's about the way your father passed away. Do you want to talk about that song and how you wrote that one?
Sure, yeah. Well, my dad passed away, you know, in a unique way. He was a man who loved driving. He always liked to take long, long drives across the country. And he was 89, and he was driving in Indiana where he lived, and he had a heart attack and passed away in the car while driving. And the car actually traveled, oh, quite a ways, and the song sort of details where it went. And the reason that my brother and sister and I knew about this was when we traveled to Indiana to take care of my dad's personal effects, we ran into a guy, we went to the body shop to see what the car looked like, and mm-hmm. then we asked the body shop people, well, where was the car found? And they told us the vicinity, so we went out there. We were wandering around, and this guy drove up in a pickup truck and asked us, you know, sort of inquired as to who we were, and we told him, and he said, oh, I was the one that found your dad's car and your dad. And so he said, let me show you where the car went. And so he took us on this journey where he showed us where the car, fortunately the car was, no one was hurt. My dad didn't hit anybody or nothing. There was no damage from the car. But literally the car went off the road, through a cornfield, over a barbed wire fence, across the road, it really did go through an Amish garden, and I talked to the woman. And then it went through a grove of trees, hit a couple of small trees, went down a hill, and then came to a stop in a beautiful meadow. And it was just an amazing story. And because my dad was a unique person, it just was even more amazing to me that he left this earth in such a unique way.
Yeah.
And so that happened it was Memorial Day 2005. And I knew that I wanted to write about it, but I didn't really force it. And for about 2 years, I had that line, he left this world in his own way, Daddy's last drive. So I had the title of the song and I had that line, but I didn't have anything else. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of kept it in my head and I just let it percolate. And 4 years later, I had another melody and I was trying to stick some lyrics into this melody and it just wasn't working. And so I took that other melody and and I said, well, I'm going to use this for a different song. And I started singing and the first line just came out, Daddy was a driving man.
Mm-hmm.
And that song was actually written was a pretty quick song in terms of how long it took to write it. Mm-hmm. And I never forced it. I just let it happen because I knew that I had to write it in a way that would achieve that balance between sort of telling an amazing story, paying tribute to my dad, but I didn't want it to be a depressing song.
Right.
There's one thing about if a song is sad or touching, but that's one thing, but if a song is like depressing and brings people down, I didn't really want that.
Mm-hmm.
And so Daddy's Last Drive, it's touching, and of course it's sad because, my father passed away. But the reaction that I get when people hear the song is more of, it's very touching, but it's also, I think what they focus on more is the tribute to my dad and the amazing story.
Yeah, it's a quite an amazing story, and you tell it very well in the song. And in some ways, there's even a little bit of humor to it as well, with... every place that car went before it stopped, it's kind of funny.
It was amazing, and I think if my dad, if my dad heard it, he would get a charge out of it. I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm pretty sure he's enjoying that song.
I think so too, and I sometimes laugh because I think there were a couple days where on the folk DJ. Radio stations where my mother's song got played and my father's song got played, and so I was thinking this is really neat, and I sort of imagine my mother and dad sort of both being really happy about that.
Yeah, that's really neat. Yeah, there's a lot of really good personal songs on here that you're not afraid to kind of bare your soul, which I think as a songwriter is a really important thing to do, but not bare it to the point where, like you said, you depress people or whatever, Are you performing as well?
I am. I haven't done as many in the last 4 months, mostly just due to the new record and just some other things.
Do you usually play solo, or do you have a band, or how do you usually?
I play solo most of the time, but I have played in the past with bands, and Women with Strings Attached was a group that was put together by me and Mira Wooten and Deb Thacker, two other singer-songwriters, and we did a lot of performing around the Bay Area, lots of fundraisers, and So I've played with Women of Streams Attached, and also I pull together a band sometimes to do certain gigs. And I would like to do more performing with other people. I mean, I ideally would like to find musicians that I could do my tour with for the new record. So I'm just putting that out to the universe and looking, you know, kind of leveraging my connections and meeting more people that might be people that I could perform with. And so I think it's nice to be able to do both. I think depending on the venue, there are situations where the solo singer songwriter act is great and is perfect, and then there are other times when it's really nice to have a fuller sound. And I think for my music, it really enhances it to have just maybe a bass or a lead guitar or some harmony vocals. I don't think I need much, but I would like to have a little bit of enhanced musicianship to go along with my guitar playing and my vocals. I think I would like that. So that's something that I'm working on. I'm always planning and figuring out what I want to do and how I'm going to get there.
Yeah. Are you just doing music now, or?
Yeah, I'm just doing music and some other writing projects that I have ongoing, and just taking a little time to think about what my next day job is going to be. And
what kind of day jobs have you had in the past?
Oh, I've actually practiced law for about 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's been my day job, was the area of I started out in patent law, intellectual property law, and then I went into, I guess the best way to describe it is transactions. Mostly what my area of specialization is contracts. Mm-hmm. Drafting and negotiating contracts, which I really like. I really enjoy it. And it actually, there's a good synergy between that and my songwriting, because it keeps me writing. And it's, you know, when I work on contracts, I'm doing a lot of wordsmithing and a lot of editing, and becoming very efficient as a contract drafter helped me, I think, to become more efficient as a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's where your editing comes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I enjoy it. I mean, I like writing. I like writing anything. I like writing all sorts of things. I like to write blogs, and I like to write poetry, and of course I like to write songs, and I like to I write letters, and I just like to write. And so if I could earn a living drafting contracts on the side and then do music, that would be ideal for me. So that's what I'm thinking about.
Well, that'd be great. The more we can hear of you musically, I think, the better. So.
Oh, that's so nice. I appreciate that. It's people like you and radio stations like Casey Cafe Radio that really inspire me to keep writing songs and keep making records and keeping the music out there.
Here's my question that I ask every songwriter, and so I'd kind of like to hear what you have to say. Who is your favorite songwriter, and what is your favorite song?
Wow. Oh, boy. My favorite songwriter. Just one?
Well, give me a couple. You don't have to just pick one. Just give me a couple.
Well, I would have to say, and this is, if I go back sort of historically and I look at my earliest influence, I would say one of my very favorite songwriters is Joni Mitchell. Her writing and all the songs she wrote, and just the way she...
I think she changed songwriting in a lot of ways. I mean, she was just the way that the words that she started using, you know, you never heard in songs before, you know, and the way she uses melodies and instrumentation in songs, nobody ever did that before her. So I think she's quite a pioneer.
I agree with you. I think that's a great point. And she just evolved. It was interesting to just watch how she evolved as a writer and as a musician. And she would try things.
Right.
And sometimes it wouldn't necessarily be something that she would stick with. But she was always experimenting and growing and pushing the envelope in certain ways.
Yeah.
And I think for me, when I think about songs and songwriters, you know, there's songwriters that I think that I like because I love their lyrics and I love what they do with you know, melodies and ballads and the meaning of, you know, the story and what is conveyed in terms of the meaning of the song. But then there are other songwriters that I like because I just like the vibe of the song. I really like Coldplay. And I used to love Steely Dan, even though sometimes I'd listen to Steely Dan songs and think, I have no idea what he's talking about. But it resonates. But it's okay because I'm singing along with it.
Yeah.
So I listen to so many different writers and styles of music. I never really exclude anything. I like to hear what's happening in the pop world, and I like to hear what's happening in the country world, and I like to listen to African music and Cuban music, and I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
I like rock. I listen to metal. I think that's a wonderful question. I mean, I also, obviously love the songwriter of Mary Chapin Carpenter, too. I think her lyrics are just...
She devastates me every time she puts out a new CD. I have to, like, set aside time to listen to it, because if not, I'll just be sitting in my car weeping, listening to it or whatever, because every time I hear one of her new CDs, I'm just, like, gone for an hour, you know? Just don't talk to me.
I feel the same way.
And I think, and she has a lot of humor in her songs, too. And I think you hear that in your CD as well. I mean, this CD, No Other Road, has a lot of those poignant songs in it, but it also has some humorous kind of songs in it as well. And there's a good mix of music on it. I think everyone needs to go out and find a copy of it.
And their copies, their copies are easy to find. iTunes and CD Baby.
CD Baby, Amazon. And they can also go to your website, and which is lucybillings.com. And they can be a friend of yours on Twitter and Facebook. And they can find you on Reverb Nation as well. So there's a lot of ways to find Lucy's music out there. And I want to give a plug, too, to the music video for My Caballo. I watched that today, and that was really neat. How did you get that made?
Well, it's interesting, because I wrote the script, a couple years ago, on a flight back to Virginia. I was visiting my family for Christmas. And so I wrote a script out, and then I tried to find companies that did animated music videos, and there weren't very many at the time, but I did a search on Google, and I found a couple companies, and I wrote one of them, I wrote to a couple of them, and I heard back right away from Deep Sky Video in Oregon. They're just outside of Portland. And so I had a nice chat with them, and I told them what I wanted to do, and I remember I said I wanted horses that had long faces and could smile and sing. And they said, well, we...
That's a funny scene in there where the horses are singing along.
They said, well, we've done cows. When they sent me a couple links to some of their cow videos, their animated cow videos. And I said, that's perfect. If you can do with horses what you did with cows, that would be great. And so they... I gave them my script and the song, and they started working on the storyboards. And actually, that video is really one of the things that's really wonderful about it is that it was all, the scenes were hand-painted. It wasn't, like, computer-generated. It was actually hand-painted screen.
I was going to say, the colors in that are very vivid and beautiful.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to work on that and seeing it. I mean, every time I sometimes just watch it for fun if I haven't watched it for a while, and it's just so much fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy that it's brought enjoyment to other people as well.
Yeah. Have you given it to somebody to get it out there so more people can see it? I mean, or is it the only way they can see it on YouTube, or how can it be seen?
Well, it's on YouTube, and then, of course, you know, it's on my site. It did win an award. It was one of the top 20 finalists in the Alternate Route Best Roots American Video Contest for 2011. And they actually syndicated it or put it on Alternate Route TV,
mm-hmm.
which I guess was in about 60 markets. So it did. It was in season 2 in 2011, but it wasn't necessarily. It's not still running. It was a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to be able to put it in someone else's hands and have it get out there on a wider basis. Yeah.
Is there anything else you wanted to add?
I so appreciate your wonderful station and your support of my music. I'm so grateful and thank you very much. And yeah, I just am looking forward to getting more music out there, and I just would love it for any listeners to come find me on my website and write me a note and join the mailing list and be in touch in terms of the music. And thank you so much. It's been great talking with you today.
No problem. And I want everyone to know they can find Lucy on lucybillings.com. And you can also find her on Twitter and Facebook. And you can find her music on CD Baby, iTunes, and Amazon. You can download there and buy it from CD Baby as well. The new CD is called No Other Road. And she will have a new CD out next early summer, we're thinking, right?
Right.
You'll hear her on KC Cafe Radio quite a bit. And we thank you for all your support.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so, so much.